What about doing things like grocery shopping or things like that? Or did that mean going to Johnsonville sort of
going to Johnsonville?
Weeks, or was there a store here that...
Oh, no, no, there's no stores at all. No. No, none at all. Oh, we would get our milk, yes, because in those days there was it was one largish dairy farm. There's two or three, there was lots of dairy farms here originally, but when we were growing up there was one main one, the Georgesons, and we would go twice a week, once a week, we'd get a gallon, we had a gallon jug of milk, and it was always my job to you had to walk, drive up to the house, and Mum would drive up, and I'd walk up the path and along the path past the vegetable garden into the chiller. There was this massive door, you just open the door and you never quite knew what was going to be in the chiller. There was always a big tin, a big metal milk can of milk with a big ladle, you see. So you'd get your ladle and you'd ladle a gallon of milk into the container, but sometimes you'd open up and there'd be like this carcass of a sheep or something. It was, when you're sort of 5 or 6 or 7, it's just really gross looking at this dead animal like lying, being hung in the chiller sort of thing. Or there'd be ducks or something, you know, dead duck if it was duck shooting. But usually it was just the milk cans with the ladle, and you'd sort of ladle it in. And then it was your job to sit very carefully and hold on to it driving home, because occasionally it would fall over, and a gallon of milk 2 weeks down the track in your carpet of your car is not a nice thing at all. So yes, with the milk got spilt, we were in trouble. But you had this beautiful, it was unpasteurised, full cream, just straight from the cow. Some would go there and the rest would go in the tanker, you see. And in those days, the Georgesons farm, the daughter married Mr. Georgeson, and Pat was Pat Nossiter. Her father lived up on Rifle Range Road, so the farm was kind of split in two. So the cows would occasionally, every now and again, they'd walk up the road to the grazing up at that farm, and then they'd walk back. So there was always cow poop everywhere. Splattery, super splattery poo everywhere across the road when the cows had to go. So sort of every 2 or 3 weeks there'd be morning and night up and down the road. So everyone had to slow down. There's always mobs of sheep on the road. You'd always have to slow down for mobs of sheep. You don't see that much now, but certainly the cows. And when I got a bit older, I used to help round up the cows on my horse, you know, be like a real cowboy, and walk them along the road back. It was a bit miles walk. It was quite a long way for the poor old girls. But yes, we would get the milk at home here, and we always had a veggie garden. But all the other groceries, once a week, Mum would just, probably not more than once a week, probably once every 2 weeks sometimes, go and get the groceries and come home. So it was always a bit of a thing, do the shopping. We've got to go and do the shopping.
Did she have a car?
Yes, she did. A little Morisau. So you'd trundle up there, do the shopping. And then, because it was the Johnsonville Mall in those days, the big mall, and... There would have been, I think there's a supermarket in there, smallish one. I don't know, there was always plenty of food. But literally, I think we lived on about, I don't know, $10 a week. It was so, there was just, no one had any money, you see, in those days. Very few people had a lot of money. And certainly as a solo mother, you know, she just lived, scraped out and eked out. And so that gave us really a real thrifty sort of upbringing. And everything was reused and saved. And because she grew up, again, you know, sort of after the Depression, when they had 6 kids and through the war and all that, and everything was reused, you know, bits of the butter wrappers were kept to grease pans, and I still do that, and I do it without even thinking. Yes, I know, nothing. I put out one rubbish bag every 6 weeks, because everything is reused and recycled, and everything's got its use, and, you know, get a garage full of junk you never throw away, because just in case.
What about clothes and things like that? Was that, were there lots of hand-me-downs, like, sort of shared between families or
yes? Well, Mum was a real sewer. She sewed all our clothes pretty much, and nobody does that now. Well, very few people do that now, because they're so cheap to buy. Mm. But in those days, Mum would have made most of our clothes, raincoats, jeans. She made her jeans. She probably made her underpants sometimes, I think. You know, it's incredible. And yes, we had a lot of cousins, so we got hand-me-downs. You don't really care what you wear in those. There wasn't sort of labels and stuff like there are now. You just wear what's closest and doesn't smell too much. You know? I know with our sheets, I remember, because we had one of those big old agitator washing machines. Mum only did the washing once a week, and it was a real mission. So with our sheets, you only were allowed to put out the bottom sheet. So the top sheet went to the bottom, and you get a clean one on the top. So, and we only had baths once a week too. And I can vividly, I used to hate having baths. And sometimes I just, I just put the water on, sit there and read a book and splash around a bit. So it sounded like I was having one. So I must have gone for a week or two without having a bath. But
was it quite a hassle having a bath?
Oh, it was a big thing. We didn't have showers or anything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, you always want to play. You don't want to waste time having a bath. So bath night was always, I think usually on Sunday nights, I think we had a bath night, so we scrubbed down. But never ever got nits, or no one ever complained about us smelling or being grubby or whatever. Mum cut all our hair. She used to, she was a hairdresser. But no, and I do a lot, used to do a lot of sewing. I mean, it's not much point now, I don't have time now. But yeah, everybody sewed in those days. Everyone preserved, did jams and preserves and bottling, and which is all coming back again too, chutneys. Yeah. Baking, oh gosh, you know, everyone would bake. There was always home baking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And
would there be baking competitions or things?
No, not really. You know, we didn't sort of have those, like those farm day shows. Mm-hmm. So we didn't seem to have those like a lot of other rural communities have. But there was always do's. There was always a do, and there was always a ton of home baking. You know, there was always some sort of dance or school function or whatever, as I said before. There was always fundraising things. We had to raise money to build the school pool, and there was all sorts of fundraising initiatives. I can't actually remember a lot of them, but
when was the pool built?
Oh, it would have been early 70s, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's still there. I'm not sure if it's, I presume it's used, but that was a big thrust. The community raised most of the money to build the pool, school pool. And but it was great facilities up at the school. There's tennis courts and big playing fields and paddocks and buildings, and had a little library there. And
the community could just use those things anytime.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they could. I don't know if they did particularly, but they they could. And of course we had the sports ground too, which was further up, so a lot of the bigger things, as I said, the rugby games, pony club and stuff, they were all up in the Bryant's paddock there. It was one of the few flat areas in the valley. Oh, we used to have hungies and things as well. And a lot of people went to church too, a lot of regularly. Mm. It was quite a big congregation, so that was sort of grouping there.
Mm. And if there were weddings, was that usually a community affair? Or was
that it was often, a lot of the time you didn't actually get, depending how close you were, but you weren't actually invited to the weddings, but everybody would go up to the church to watch, see the bride. And there's a lot of baptisms and things. There were a few weddings. My aunt got married up there, actually. And I guess the limiting thing was the sort of the size for receptions. There was the golf club, I think, they used to have a few receptions at. And the hall, of course, we use the hall. But I think a lot of people actually got married out of the valley a lot of the time. Yes, there weren't that many marriages.
Was that because they were marrying people outside of the valley?
Probably. I mean, they lived in the valley, but they would get married in Johnsonville or somewhere like that. And I think it was probably more the reception venues were the issues. But I do, yes, I can remember going and watching the bride come out of the church. I knew it was a howling gale, and the poor woman's dress nearly blew off half the top. So it's really small too, so most people had to stand outside. So.
And what about when babies were born? Was there sort of a local midwife or someone that would always be on hand and babies sort of came in the middle of the night? Or?
Well, no, I think most people may do. In fact, one of the Bryant's grandfathers was born on the information. They were on their way out. I think most of the time they've always tried to get out of the valley, but I think a lot of them came, you know, some kids were born on the side of the road. In fact, I know Warren Bryant was born on the side of the road up at the, apparently according to law, L-O-R-E, I should say, the big information tree corner there, the big corner, I don't know if you've seen the sign on the tree there coming in. I think they got there in their little old Model T, horse and cart or whatever, and it wasn't going to make it to hospital. But no, I didn't know of any actual midwives. And in fact, you know, when you're a child, you don't really know all that baby stuff, you don't really know much about. I think most people probably went, you see, in those days, when you were due to give birth, I think you went in to the hospital and they had nursing homes and things. I know Mum had 2 weeks at a home after I was born, and then you just get looked after hand and you know, treated like a queen, and everything was done, and so that was the norm in those days. You go into a home for a few weeks and have the baby, and then you get looked after, and then when you're ready, you'd come home, but then you're all on your own sort of thing there. So unless you had family around, or and you know, neighbours would help to a point, but yes, it was sort of not like you give birth and you're out half an hour later, like, now you're kicked out, sorry, we need the bed, you know. So it was a bit of a, the whole birthing thing was quite different, I think, in those days. But no, I don't know, you'd have to speak to perhaps some of the older people to see if what the whole birthing thing happened. I'm sure there was probably a few that came unannounced and couldn't get in the car and get there and stuff, but I think most people tried to make their way to the hospital if they could. Home births weren't that trendy in those days. I think they were more accidental than on purpose. Yeah.